You are Locked On Bulls, your daily podcast on the Chicago Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere you can find podcasts. Please leave us a five-star review on iTunes. You can email us with any basketball questions or advertising inquiries at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter @LockedOnBulls. Like us on Facebook @LockedOnBulls. Make sure you check out the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network as well. I'm Sean Hyken of The Athletic. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund of 670 The Score. We got a guest today. Is this our first three-man pod, Cody?
It's a special guest. I think so. We have
from USA Today,
then Mike Singer, editor extraordinaire. Contributing writer, USA Today, all-around good guy, Mike Singer.
Drinking buddy of ours.
How are you doing, Mike?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
Bulls have dropped their preseason opener, 93-91 to the Milwaukee Bucks, the start of the Dwayne Wade era. Chicago down 15 points in the fourth quarter, rallied to take a lead, but Rashad Vaughn hit a three-pointer, and it felt like Bulls summer league team. A lot of the same faces on the court at the end. The crowd thought they were going to get a win. But they did not. What was your biggest takeaway, Mike Singer, special guest on the podcast?
My biggest takeaway was how discombobulated the offense looked. How many turnovers did they have?
22.
22 turnovers. You had Rondo throwing the ball all over the court, sometimes throwing the ball way ahead of a fast break for it to just go out of bounds. We heard pregame Coach Fred Hoiberg talking about how the players always need to be aware when Rondo has the ball because several players have already gotten hit in the face with his passes. So we didn't see any of that tonight, but there were a number of sloppy turnovers, just lack of cohesion, lack of chemistry. You could clearly tell that this was the first time that D-Wade, Rajon Rondo, and Jimmy Butler had all played together.
Which is exactly what we had been talking about all summer. Like, I mean, as much as it's been very harmonious in training camp in terms of everyone's getting along, nobody's stepping on each other's toes, when they actually get out on the court, it's not a great fit, and we kind of saw that tonight.
Yeah, and I was interested in the fact that there's going to be a long learning curve here with Rondo, because as you said, people getting hit in the face with balls in practice and everything, but this, even though there were like new faces, it felt like the old disjointed Bulls offense in different ways. It was a little quicker with the turnovers in a little bit different manner at times, but there was no rhythm or flow for the greater good of the game. Again, everything's taken with a huge grain of salt here. But at the same time, it's like, this is a team that has a ton to work on. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
I was going to say, they very clearly are trying to push the pace this year with Rondo, especially on the fast breaks. I noticed there were at least three or four different primary ball handlers throughout the game. You had Rondo, you had Butler running point, you had D-Wade bringing it up. Then when the second unit finally came in, you had Jaren Grant. And that experiment didn't go well.
He looked better in the second half, I thought, than he did in the first half.
I mean, I agree with you, but the fact is that he is not a solid go-to backup point guard yet. He could become that, and I kind of think that we're going to have Jimmy Butler playing some point guard, conceivably with the second unit, something that he talked about last media day. I don't know if you remember that, but he said, I want to run point guard, and you know Fred's going to empower me to do that.
Yeah, and the Denzel Valentine thing, too. We haven't mentioned him. He left the game with a sprained ankle in the second half, said he'd be fine afterwards, would take it light, maybe have a day off, a couple days off. But he looked solid in his decision-making.
He did.
More comfortable with the ball than Jaren Grant looked to me. So right now I'm hedging towards Denzel Valentine as being those backup point guard minutes when Jimmy Butler isn't kind of filling that role. But what do you guys think of Valentine's kind of professional debut here?
I was actually very, very impressed by Valentine. I think he was really the bright spot for this Bulls bench that was not very impressive at all. But he looked like his decision-making was good, his ball handling, which is something they've talked about. That was a strength of his, obviously, in college at Michigan State, and that's something that Fred's talked about all throughout training camp as him, you know, having that playmaking ability on the wing. I think we're going to see some of him at the one this season.
We could see a lot of him on the court.
Listen, I think that his playmaking, his decision-making, his overall basketball acumen is a derivative of the time that he spent in Michigan State. He is not your prototypical rookie. He's not a young dude, a young prospect coming in. Obviously he is a rookie, but he plays a heady style of basketball. He seems to set his guys up. He picks his points when to attack. You can just tell he has a great feel for the game. And Fred talked about it. After the game, he talked about how impressive of a debut it was, given that, you know, it was, like you said, his first professional
game. He looked like he belonged in the NBA. Like, a lot of times with rookies, you can see, okay, there's some talent there, but, like, the game has to catch up to him. Denzel Valentine looked like he could just slide in. There was not really an adjustment period with him. He looked like he was just kind of ready to get going right now in the NBA.
I like that we're chiming in with Bulls praise by saying the Bulls spent a first-round draft pick on a guy who looked like he belonged on the court in the preseason opener, which
great point.
Is good, but
they
the
like to
time,
draft those four-year college guys,
it's,
though.
It's reflective a little bit of where they've been before, because Doug McDermott didn't look like he belonged
when he first
played his games as a rookie season. Now, tonight, Doug a little bit better, obviously. You'd expect that, getting bigger minutes, had 13 points, tied Jimmy Butler for the team high scoring honors. I think a takeaway, Bulls second unit bad. Bulls third unit, catastrophe ever strikes all 30 teams in the NBA, and you got to go to your third unit. The Bulls third unit looked great.
Chris Felicio is going to be future dunk contest champion. Chris Felicio going coast to coast.
What do you think his role is going to be? Because he didn't get in the game until later. You know, there's a few free Chris Felicio tweets. And then he came in late in the game, and I thought he played well. I thought the play that reflected the most, Chris Felicio missed two free throws that would have tied the game with 3.4 seconds left. Shout out, no one wants preseason overtime. That's fine, but I thought on that play is important. He got the ball at the top of the key, like 20 feet from the hoop, and he pump faked, waited for his guy to go by, put the ball on the floor a couple times, and got fouled, which I thought was a spectacular play for, given his size, the decision making.
He didn't get touched. It was a bad call, yeah. And you know, he sort of did. He attempted a layup on the wrong side of the hoop, but he did get fouled nonetheless. The poise to not shoot that is definitely something that you definitely take notice of. So we've been praising Denzel. You know, we've been saying McDermott had a good game as well. What about Nico? He
was awful.
He seemed to struggle more than any other player out there tonight. He started last season. He was in the starting rotation. So Taj actually started at power forward tonight. Where does that go? What do you think Coach Hoiberg does with Nico, especially if his confidence, you know, is a little bit shook like it was last year?
Well, just based on tonight, I think it's pretty clearly Taj Gibson's starting spot to lose in the lineup. We have talked, you know, for months about how we think that Mirotić makes the most sense from a pure like skill set standpoint for who to put in the starting lineup, because he has that shooting ability and Taj Gibson doesn't. But he was awful tonight, and Taj Gibson was Taj Gibson. He was himself. You know exactly what you're going to get out of him night to night. He's reliable. He's solid. He doesn't really bring you that shooting. But hey, I mean, if Dwayne Wade is hitting three pointers now, which by the way, that's a thing.
He hit both of his three-pointers. He had 6 points in his Bulls debut, both from three-point land, and as you pointed out, Sean, both off the dribble, too.
Yeah.
And he joked that he was excited to see where his first three-point shot would go. It went in, so he liked that. Joked that this gives him free reign to shoot more three-pointers on Thursday.
Well, a bit of context that he's been working with Hoiberg after practice. He's been working consistently on his three-point shot. I know I've heard you guys have cited he only hit 7 all last season, but
in 74 games.
Well, except he randomly then shot 55% in the playoffs.
In the playoffs, right? So maybe this is a carryover for the postseason. It seems like he's trying to fit in. I think he read all the offseason stories of how poor a 3-point shooting team they were going to be with Butler, Rondo, and Wade all out there together, and he didn't want to. He was tired of hearing about it.
Yeah, shout out to the saltiness with which the Bulls take any criticism of the three-point shooting. Jimmy Butler, Dwayne Wade, Fred Hoiberg, they all just shut it down like, do you know how many points Dwayne Wade scored in his NBA career? You know, Jimmy scored over 20 points a game 2 years ago.
The best, their go-to phrase is always, these guys are very good at putting the ball in the basket.
Yes, just from like 8 feet away.
Well, when you say it that way,
right? Like they're all right. All-stars.
Just a complete spin zone there. But this Nico thing, I do think, to get back to that, this is problematic. He was 1 of 7 from the field, and not just that, like he didn't look comfortable with the ball in his hands. He made 2 awful turnovers. One of them in semi-transition, just another dumb pass. Like these are like 6th and 7th grade turnovers. Like right passes right to the other team. And it's just like, what's going on up there in his mind when he's thinking? And I don't know if the game's moving too fast. I don't know that that's an excuse when you're in your 3rd year in the NBA and you've played for the Spanish national team and played much better over the summer. But I don't know what the Bulls do, because Hoiberg after the game was asked if, you know, Nico's just destined to be an inconsistent NBA player and you got to take the good with the bad. And he kind of bristled at that. But at the same time, I don't think Fred has answers right now on him. What can they do?
I mean, it's just a matter of whether is he going to be that starter? Is he going to come off the bench? And then at that point, that gets into playing a small ball. It gets into his philosophy. Are you playing a small ball? If you play him at the 4, are you going to conceivably take minutes away from Bobby Portis?
Bobby Portis looked awful tonight, by the way.
He did, but side note on Bobby Portis, I've heard that of all of the Bulls players, he is one of the biggest gym rats, and the Advocate Center is open 24 hours a day, and I have heard that he comes in late at night and works on his game
consistently. I've heard the same thing about him, and I've also seen evidence of it on his Snapchat when he's not...
Oh, is that where it is? I'm not
When he's not bowling and making his friends do push-ups for losing to him at bowling.
That's very true. There's no doubting Bobby's work ethic there, but I think with that whole power forward rotation, too, you got to consider... If the Bulls' second unit gets outplayed, you know, here throughout the preseason as a theme, you got to think, too, are you better suited with Taj playing more minutes on that second unit if you can get Nico just to be somewhat consistent, a shade of kind of his best self, just to give some reinforcement to that second group and then stagger those minutes with Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler, too.
Which by the way,
they did a little bit tonight.
He did. I mean, the first half, obviously, what Butler and Wade only played in the first half. They didn't play at all in the second half, but they played that 6-minute shift together at the start of the game. And after that, they were not both on the floor at the same time after that. And I think that's a really encouraging sign for what Hoiberg might do with the rotation. I think we forgot to ask him about it afterwards, but... You know, that would make the most sense in terms of their skill sets not overlapping with each other.
There is another new incoming Bull who we haven't really addressed.
Isaiah Cannon?
No. Ramon Lopez.
He's good.
We haven't really addressed it. He hit some outside shots. He played some good defense.
Also airballed an outside shot.
Also did airball an outside shot, to which I was sitting next to Cody, and I initially suggested that, that looks like a shot that Pau Gasol hit last year, and then he immediately airballed it.
In his defense, the ball went out of bounds. The Bulls were able to set up their defense and just lock in, even though they really didn't lock in on defense tonight either.
Absolutely planned. But in all fairness, Robin Lopez was in a completely new situation, as evidenced by pregame.
Adventurous.
Adventurous. Pregame, we are standing outside the Bulls' locker room. Some of the players are trickling in. Robin Lopez walks past the Chicago Blackhawks locker room. He walks past the visiting locker room. Then he walks directly past the Chicago Bulls locker room, to which the Bulls communication staff had to point him in the right direction of where the home locker room was.
Crisis was averted. He's out there, starting center, which he'll be all season. What did you make of his defensive play tonight? I thought he was fine. I know he made one good play there on a recovery. He didn't seem to chase the Bucks in much pick and roll. He wasn't running out there to 3-point line or anything. And I thought the defensive problems the Bulls did have stem more from not stopping dribble penetration.
Listen, the Bucks are one of the hardest teams to defend because of their...
The Warriors said hello.
Okay. I'm saying in terms of the amount of players that they switch, the amount of versatile players that they have, they're not a particularly easy team to defend. When you have Butler guarding... Yeah, they're unique in that you had Butler guarding Giannis. That's already a mismatch in Giannis' favor. Granted, Butler's an excellent defender, fine. But it just throws everything out of whack when you have a guy that big dominating their offense. Then Robin Lopez, who is he stuck guarding? Miles Plumlee?
I don't know. The Bucks have a rotating cast.
Monroe?
Big men. They're trying to figure out who to
Henson?
Start, I think, still.
Sure. It's not a particularly easy assignment. But yeah. I thought Robin Lopez's debut was pretty solid. Didn't make any egregious errors. And, you know, played... here's one thing I did notice.
What?
Way more mobile than Pau Gasol. If he's going to be, if he, which is obviously a low bar, but
more
if
more mobile than Joe the last couple of years too.
Absolutely. But if he's going to be running with Rajon Rondo and D Wade, and I saw him running in transition and keeping up with the guards, that is a significant plus that, you know, caters to Rondo's style.
Low key, Lopez might be the most benefiting from Rondo assist hunting, because he's just going to get so many easy buckets from Rondo just dumping the ball into him inside, and he can just go up and score over somebody. He's going to get so many just easy baskets, right, like that.
Yeah, speaking of Rondo, I mean, that's what Fred rued that a little bit after the game. The Bulls didn't run quite well enough in transition with Rondo, and Dwayne Wade mentioned that they need to get in their offensive sets faster. So that's the learning curve we mentioned earlier. Also, I thought there was one play. I guess maybe we should keep a Rajon Rondo attitude meter, or have Rajon Rondo attitude alert. Yeah. Check.
We have the Rondo Hoiberg meter already.
Yeah, we do. It's still going great so far.
I started a new Twitter feature for every single game, the Rondo triple double watch.
Oh, okay. Because he had what, 2-2-4 in the first 6 minutes tonight or something.
He ended up with, I'm looking at the box score.
He had 2-6-7, I believe.
2-6-7. It's going to be the Joakim Noah type triple-double, where the thing that's going to be the hardest for him to get double figures in his points.
Yeah, but
he never looks for his own offense.
On one occasion, he had a turnover, and he could have been one of the secondary Bulls, kind of trailers in transition to get back on defense. And he kind of walked from his own offensive corner to his own offensive free throw line, barely made it to half court by the time the Bucks shot the ball. So, like, the Bulls weren't completely invested in this preseason game entirely yet, which isn't surprising.
Let's look forward a bit. What is, Sean, I think you know, what is their practice schedule coming up?
They got to practice on Tuesday.
They got practices on Tuesday and Wednesday, I believe.
Practice on Tuesday.
Fred's coaching them harder, man.
Practice on Tuesday and Wednesday. How does that sit with some of the veteran guys? How would you think that would sit? I think I saw D. Wade sort of roll his eyes when he heard about this.
Tuesday was scheduled to be an off day, or projected, I should say.
I think if they had won this game, it probably would have been an off day.
Yeah. But it's so early in camp.
I mean,
Wade, I don't think it's much of a thing yet, but yes.
I don't think Wade is going to be too fazed by this. He's, you know, he comes from the Pat Riley system. That's basically a military style culture that they have there. I don't think he's going to be too fazed. And Fred has said the whole time, if Wade comes to him and said, look, I don't feel great today, I want a day off, he's going to give him a day off. So I don't think we have to worry about Wade getting overworked. But, I mean, it does seem like it's a little bit overcompensating for the reputation that Fred has of not coaching guys as hard. The fact that all these practices have been going over 2 hours now so far in training camp, and now he hasn't given them a day off. This will be, what, 9 or 10 days?
Yeah, something
straight
like
of practice.
Well, last year it was the joke among some media members was, what time's practice tomorrow? And it was, well, ask Jimmy Butler was the reply. And Jimmy asked them last December to be Coach Hutter, and Fred's doing that now. So I guess sometimes you get what you ask for in life.
Let's not diminish what it means that the Bulls now have Dwayne Wade and the effect that it has on the locker room already.
Oh, it's been huge.
Well, you can tell. Jimmy Butler spoke to the media for a few minutes, if that, after Fred Hoiberg held his press conference, and then he bolted. D. Wade was waiting in his locker room, and actually, he normally you have to wait for the players to get dressed and, you know, dry off and get their jewelry on and all this. And Wade turned around and said, "Are you guys ready? Let's roll." He seemed to embrace his role as a leader on the team. He seemed ready to face all the questions. I've heard he was excellent with the media in Miami. And thus far, it doesn't seem like there's anything different in Chicago.
I thought it was telling, to give listeners a little bit of background, the Bulls' locker room opens to the media while Fred Hoiberg usually is still conducting his press conference. So if you got early talkers, guys that duck out quickly to get home or go grab dinner or whatever, you might miss them.
Derrick Rose was an early talker.
Yeah, so Jimmy talked early tonight. I thought what was telling when he said he was done, like the second horde of media was coming in. He's like, "I'm done, I'm out. You guys can talk to D. Wade, you know, like go for it." I mean, he's the star of the night. It's his night or whatever. But I think Jimmy likes maybe Dwayne taking on that more vocal role. And at the same time, just, I mean, he realized it was his night making his Chicago debut.
That's the point, is Wade is now a release valve for Jimmy, for the Bulls. He's a veteran presence. The leadership onus does not completely fall on Jimmy Butler, as it somewhat did last year in the transition phase of Rose and Butler, but Rose didn't really embrace that, and did Jimmy, whose locker room was it? You know,
well, there was also just even when, you know, a lot of the focus was on Rose, there was just so much baggage there.
Fine, but
so this is like Wade get, you know, Jimmy gets to share it with somebody else who, you know, is coming in with a clean slate, doesn't have this years and years of history
right
with the team.
And you know, Wade has already said that this is Jimmy's team, which was definitely a symbolic gesture, but you know, there's a guy with rings, and there's a guy who's a two-time All-Star, and you know, Dwayne Wade comes with a lot of clout.
And it's worth noting, in the long-awaited mystery and intrigue of who gets introduced last in Bulls pregame, Derrick Rose for years. It is now Jimmy Butler who had that honor. Got introduced last. Dwayne Wade was introduced first as from Chicago, being the Robins native. He is, so that was interesting. Dwayne Wade also has Derrick Rose's locker in the locker room if you're into the real nitty gritty here.
This is, I don't think anybody besides us knows who has his locker.
They care.
This is all great stuff. Now the only real intrigue left is whether the Bulls are going to give Tom Thibodeau a tribute video in December.
December 13th.
That may be something we address later in the podcast.
Absolutely.
In future podcasts.
Future podcasts.
I think they needed to start working on that.
They've probably started, it's already begun.
6 months of editing there.
No question.
But yeah.
Are you going to use the U2 song that they used for Kirk Heinrich's video?
You can't reuse songs. No, that's,
they,
that's
you reused the Heinrich video twice.
No. That's
you
got to
get to the
bottom
of
that.
All right. So this was good. This is, I think we spent way too much time talking about a preseason game in October. But we'll be back tomorrow with another episode. As always, you can follow me on Twitter @Hyken. You can follow Cody on Twitter @CodyWesterland. Are you still real Mike Singer?
I am not. I have changed it.
What?
I've changed it to @MSinger.
MSinger.
Professional.
A bit more professional. Check Mike's workout on USA Today.
As always, you can email us @LockedOnBulls@gmail.com with any basketball-related questions or advertising inquiries. And most of all, subscribe to us.
iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, Google Play. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, and we will be back with you later this week. And that's something that she doesn't really want to do, as we've seen. So I'm thinking that might mean there's a greater chance of there being a settlement.
Yeah, there's certainly reasons on both sides to settle. So we'll keep an eye on that. And certainly all your Bulls news as well. Not much hard Bulls news lately. We'll get all that Monday when training camp opens. Wednesday evening, we will tape a big man preview. So all
Mirotic,
our hot takes on Mirotic, Robin Lopez,
Chris Felicio,
Bobby Portis, Taj Gibson, Chris Felicio. We'll have those coming for you Thursday. A training camp umbrella preview of I don't know what we'll talk about, but we'll figure it out at some point. And then the season gets kicked off pretty soon. As always, please follow us on Twitter at Lockdown Bulls, at Cody Westerlin, at Hiken to stay up to date. Email us at LockdownBulls@gmail.com with any basketball questions, any advertising inquiries. Follow us, subscribe
Facebook.
To us. Follow us on Facebook, subscribe to us on iTunes, leave a 5-star review. Find us on Audio Boom, Stitcher, Google Play, everywhere else podcasts are found, as always. And follow the entire Locked On Podcast Network for whatever other favorite teams you have on the NFL side. NFL season's rolling. Great content from all those guys. And until next time, we'll keep you updated. And thanks for listening.